Please enjoy this ringback tone while your podcast is reached.
This is Raquel and Chelsea, and you're listening to Baroque Bitches.
Welcome to Baroque Bitches, your art, history, gossip podcast.
Gossip.
My name is Chelsea.
I'm Raquel.
And welcome to our Christmas special.
Welcome to our Christmas special. Jingle.
Welcome.
I don't know. I can't. I almost did. So, you know, I had trivia at like in a holiday event thing. Jingle Bells was originally written as a Thanksgiving song.
Oh.
Yeah. So. Okay. I lost the trivia, like, hard. And I'm fucking so competitive. So, yeah, it was a sad day.
Well, it depends on the question.
By a landslide, lost the trivia. Like, it wasn't close at all. So, yeah, hopefully you guys will fare better than me in your holiday trivia festivities. Ugh, that was a tough loss.
Yeah.
Totally.
Before we get into it. What are your holiday plans?
So we're making tamales. We'll be making tamales on Saturday and having people over because I plucked my husband out of Los Angeles and he was kind enough to move to Ohio. And his mom taught me how to make tamales when we were still living over there. So we're going to make them, bringing some home to my husband. Yay. And have people over, and hopefully no drama. I don't know.
They don't make tamales in Ohio?
So
I thought that was just a universal thing, though.
It's like, well.
Or is that just California?
It's definitely embedded into, like, Hispanic culture, which is California, right?
Yeah.
But,
So,
what's your favorite Christmas song, dude?
Okay, I have a lot of favorite things. my favorite Christmas song is Carol of the Bells.
Oh, yeah, you like that haunting shit.
That, and then my favorite Christmas movie is Charlie Brown Christmas.
Oh, dude, Lucy is such an asshole. I was showing it to my son, and I was like, wait, this is, like, fucked up. Like, she's, like, a big bully.
She is. Yeah, she's definitely a bully. But I do like when somebody asks her, so what do you want for Christmas? Do you want the? She's like, oh, I always get some kind of toys or clothes. But what I really want is real estate. Like, this bitch. Like,
dude,
her.
That sounds exactly like you.
Hell yeah, dude. Like
every year for your birthday, buy me something.
Buy me something. Yes.
Buy me drinks. Let's go.
The little Sagittarius in me, for sure. Yeah. I like things. Give me things.
Yeah, my son's like that. More things, presents? Things, stuff. More surprises?
Yeah.
But he's also super sweet. I like Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Have yourself.
Oh my God. Just tears at the heartstrings every year.
Aww.
I just like tear up a little bit.
Well, what's your favorite movie?
You know, I like them all. It's hard for me. It goes back and forth between Home Alone. I love Home Alone.
Yeah,
but 1 and 2, I even dabble in 3. I even like that little kid. I think he's funny. Fabian thinks that movie's trash. But I think it's super great. Christmas Story. So Christmas Story, me and my brother started watching it when we were little kids, and he would, like, on Christmas Eve stay, like, we would sleep in the same room and watch the movie and fall asleep like as little kids. And then we kept the tradition going through the years until like 18 and 15. And my brother told his girlfriend at the time, I gotta go like watch Christmas Story with my little sister. And she's like, dude, that's fucking weird. Like, you guys are old. Like, you shouldn't do that anymore.
Oh, whatever. She's a suck one.
Yeah, they're not married anymore.
Good.
But I just thought that was funny. She's like, you guys are too old for this. And we're like, sorry. Like, no. Is this weird? Like, you're making it weird. It wasn't weird. Now it's weird.
It's how but,
but yeah, so when he, like, when we get together, we always watch it. It's like a thing.
I think definitely Christmas Story is number two for sure. Like, yeah. It is not Christmas until you watch that movie. There's many iconic things.
And now, as a parent, I relate to it in such a different way. Like, the part where he's like, my mom hasn't had a hot meal in 10 years. I'm shit, man. That's so relatable now.
Yeah.
And I love the NSYNC Christmas album. Holy shit.
Okay, yeah. No, that does slap. It's really, it really good.
They're such a strong a cappella group. And I'm like,
it's
damn.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
You know what? If you don't like it, I don't care who you are. You are crazy.
No way. Yeah, you're
nuts. You cannot it's deny so the good. Talent.
It's so good. I know. Yeah, they're all wonderful. Yeah.
Oh, they're so good.
We will talk about caroling.
Ooh, yeah. So let's get into it. I'm excited to learn. I did not know what I know now about Santa. So I'm excited to share, but you go first.
All right. Mary Saturnalia. Ooh. So what do decorating pine trees, kissing under the mistletoe, and frantically buying gifts for everyone you know have to do with the birth of Jesus? Nothing. Absolutely fucking nothing. Because Christmas is not the thing you're celebrating with all these weird traditions. Okay, don't freak out. Your Christmas traditions all have to do with the pagan celebration of winter solstice, including Saturnalia.
Whoa!
Ooh, so FYI, pagan does not mean devil worshiper. It just means that you worship many gods.
More than one.
And more than one, yep. And the devil is a Christian concept anyway.
Yay!
Okay, so yeah, pagan is not bad.
No.
So what the fuck is Saturnalia?
What is it? I've never heard of it. Saturnalia sounds like a weird cult.
It is pretty crazy. It's an ancient Roman festival to honor the god Saturn, and it was celebrated throughout the month of December, finishing off with a big celebration on, you guessed it, December 25th.
What?
To honor the birthday of Sol Invictus, or the unconquerable sun. Yeah, sorry, Jesus. So
step
you can
aside, Jesus.
Yeah, it's not Jesus's birthday. Yeah, so you can't thank Pope Julius I for changing Saturnalia to Christmas. I mean, I get it. There's already a huge pagan party going on, so might as well fucking crash it. So Jesus's actual birthday is not mentioned in the Bible, but many believe it could have been around spring or summertime for various reasons. There's so many reasons,
okay,
including shepherd schedules. I mean, they're not just like watching over their flock in the middle of winter.
Oh my God, who had time to figure that out?
I know.
But yeah,
oh my
God,
dude, there's so many theories. They also have theories of, like, the Star of Bethlehem, like, space theories of when planets could have aligned during that time to possibly, if that was a thing, possibly make a giant star-looking thing in the sky. And then other biblical timelines that are just, like, very inconsistent with Jesus being born in December.
Okay.
I do believe even the Bible thumpers agree that Jesus's birth might not have been on December 25th, and I think we're all cool with the fact
supposed to be like a faith thing anyway, you know.
I think we're fine that we just don't really know what it is. Pretty much confirmed that Jesus was a guy for sure that was born in Bethlehem, but we don't know when. We just don't have those records. That's very long ago. So anyway,
no birth records of the Jesus.
No, unfortunately, no. Yeah. So anyway, Saturnalia was celebrated with lots of feasting, drinking yourself silly, gift giving, and decking the halls. Yeah. So we do as
all right now.
Dude, yeah, we do as the Romans be doing.
Yeah.
All right, but why Saturn? So he is the god of agriculture who was said to have once reigned over the world. And each god has like a time where they're celebrated. And December is Saturn's time because the sun enters Capricorn in December, which is the astrological house of Saturn. Okay. So Capricorns are feeling good right now.
It's my favorite planet. I always like the ring.
It's a very cool planet. Yeah, yeah. And Saturn himself as a god, since Saturn is the god of agriculture, Romans would worship him and gave animal sacrifices to him in order for him to bless the harvest in spring. So we don't really do the like the animal sacrifice.
No, I mean, we do. I mean, not here.
We do eat ham, which pigs were definitely one of the animals that would be slaughtered for the god of Saturn.
For the god of Saturn. Sacrificial ham. Yeah, hammy, you gotta go.
Sacrificial
Sorry.
Ham.
Dear
I know,
day.
Yeah. Sorry, piggies. But during the mythological golden age of Saturn's reign, Saturn is said to have arrived in a barren Italy and brought agriculture and civilization to it. So I guess we drink and party to celebrate.
Yeah,
that.
Dude. That's like all the fucking pagan stuff. They were just like, drink, party, live it up, go nuts.
And this was like the biggest time to drink and party and go nuts.
Yeah.
And Saturn is said to be a very just god during the Golden Age. So the Golden Age is that like mythical Eden type of thing where gods and humans lived on Earth together harmoniously. It was a time of peace and harmony and no slavery either.
Oh, okay. That's
good. To celebrate this mythical time, during Saturnalia, the Romans would let their enslaved people free for the time during the festivities. And their enslaved people were even allowed to talk shit to their masters, dine with them, and possibly even be served by them. So sometimes they would actually switch spots.
That's pretty woke, I guess. For 200, you know, whenever this happened. AD,
enslaving
BC.
People would the I mean this is like before BC something BC so
something BC.
There was enslaved people,
which is not woke.
Not yeah, not.
But I'm just saying, like,
cool.
For the time,
it's kind of cool. Like let them free, pretty much, and they could just do as they wish, and they could even like tell their masters to fuck off and stuff.
It's like airing their grievances. Festivus, it's Festivus, Roman Festivus.
Seriously, so everyone is fucking raging together during this time, and it sounds super fun. Here is a quote from the Roman poet Statius about Emperor Domitian's Saturnalia feast in the first century. Who can sing of the spectacle, the unrestrained mirth, the banqueting, the unbought feast, the lavish streams of wine? Ah, now I faint, and drunken with thy liquor, drag myself to at last to sleep. Been there. So what else do Christians do to celebrate Saturnalia?
decorate Christmas trees.
We light candles all around the house as a symbol of the renewal of light.
Oh, we do.
Approaching the darker days of the winter solstice. So candles, yeah, candles are a big deal. We have candles now. It symbolizes something to do with the Holy Spirit
of Jesus.
Or something.
Yeah,
they basically just,
God.
Yeah.
You can tell we both like flunked out of catechism.
Yeah, no, I'm like, okay, this is the Son and the Holy Spirit or something. Okay, I don't give a shit. But yeah, so basically all of that is just kind of stolen. And they made it Christian, which we'll get into all that too.
Yeah, certain people do light, I see like lit candles in windows.
Yeah.
During this candles. Time of year. To me, it gives me like Paul Revere vibes. Like,
oh,
this
yeah.
is how George Washington maybe did Christmas.
I like
is like
it.
Putting little candles in the window to light
like
the way
it.
Or some. to winter solstice, yeah, apparently.
It's winter solstice, yeah, because these are the darkest days of the year, and the candles did symbolize the renewal of light. We also give gifts to everyone. No, so this one's the big one because you spend all your money on this shit. So giving gifts is said to be good luck for the year ahead. You thought it was a three wise men thing. No. And who the fuck said there was three men anyway? Yes, three men is not mentioned in the Bible, but we probably got that from the three gifts, I guess. I don't know. Maybe try reading a thing. I don't, I'm not going to talk shit. I'm not going to do it. Okay. So gifts and greeting cards were also a thing. People would write
fucking ancient Rome.
Yeah, in Rome, they would write poems for each other, often accompanied with a gift. And this was also big in ancient China to celebrate the new year, too. So,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Dude, during I'm going to write you solstice, a poem for Christmas.
Well, now I guess they're like kind of pre-written for us in the greeting cards. No, they were a little more
thoughtful. I want a fucking handwritten haiku.
Dude, I would love that. I would fucking love that. And also ancient China was doing that too for the new year. So what else? Wreaths. Friends would make each other holly wreaths to ward off evil spirits. And we'll get into holly.
Holly's like deadly, right?
It is just, it's known to be the like the winter symbol because it's kind of alive during winter. Mm. I don't know if it's poisonous.
I thought it was
though,
poisonous. Or mistletoe is poisonous. One of these bitches is poisonous. Holly berries, I'm pretty sure.
So the wreaths were made round to symbolize a crown because victorious Romans would wear a crown of leaves. You know, the leaves on the head thing?
Yeah. Roman
that's
leaves.
That's a fucking wreath. Yeah, that's a wreath. So hanging a wreath on the door is actually common for many cultures to bring luck into the home and to ward off bad stuff. And as a reminder that spring would come again. So everybody's just freaked out about winter and just really wants spring to come.
I get it.
Yeah, so why the fuck do we bring a tree from the outside
into the inside
and decorate it?
I thought it was like a German thing, no?
Yes, so many reasons throughout so many ancient cultural traditions. So we'll talk about a few of them. For Saturnalia, Romans would decorate with evergreen trees to symbolize everlasting life. The German and Scandinavian pagans would bring fir trees inside at Yuletide. Yuletide is a German winter solstice festival. Because it represented fertility and was decorated with ornaments and candles to celebrate the return of light in spring. So everyone is just like, it's dark. Oh, you know, and there's nothing green.
Want to see again. And yeah.
The Vikings actually worshipped trees, and the evergreen tree is said to be the sun god's unique plant. So the Vikings would bring it inside as a reminder that spring would come again. And they would decorate them with wood carvings of food to entice the tree spirits to produce food in the spring. So those funny little trendy food ornaments are not too far off from ancient Norse traditions. And then the Christians threw a Star of Bethlehem on top and boom, it's Christian. Fine. Okay. So we got the trees inside. We love that. But here's the big question. Why the fuck are we kissing under mistletoe? That fucking is so weird. It's so weird. This one is really weird. This comes from the Norse mythology. So that's the Vikings again.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about them soon.
Cool. And this is a fucking weird story. So the god Odin's son, Baldur, was prophesied to be murdered. Everybody loved Baldur too. So this was like a big thing. Everybody was really scared for him. He was scared. And his mom, Frigg, the goddess of love and beauty, went to all of the living things and made them promise that they were not to be used to hurt him. But she forgot to talk to and get a promise from a little unassuming plant, mistletoe. So Loki, who's the god of mischief and just an overall basic asshole, found out about this, that mistletoe was not given a pledge to the goddess of love. So to cause chaos, just because he's just
fucking shit up, the fucking shit up god.
Fucking shit up. he knew that Baladair was very, very well loved. And he's like, you know what? Let's figure something out. So to cause chaos, he forged a spear out of the mistletoe and gave it to Baldur's blind brother, Hod, during some game that they were playing, not knowing what he had.
Pokey pokey spear, maybe kill your brother game?
Some, yeah, brother stuff, wrestling, something. So not knowing what Hod had, Hod actually threw the spear at Baldur and accidentally killed him.
Oh, dude, that's fucked up, man.
I know.
So why do we kiss under it, though, if it's just, like, honoring the death of this dude?
Okay. So after Baldur dies, Frigg was able to persuade. So Frigg, the love goddess, mm-hmm. was able to persuade the gods to revive him after she, like, kisses all of them. So that's how she persuaded the gods
dude,
to
I
get
herself back. Fucking love pagan shit. It's so weird.
Okay. So, I mean, I guess she is the goddess of love and beauty. So they're all really stoked.
So they all just
this.
Wanted like a hard on for
they
her.
They want those kisses. So they agree after the kissing, they agree to revive Baldur. The gods also made Mistletoe promise to never do a bad deed again and to forever be a symbol of love and happiness.
Aww.
So I guess that turns into kissing under mistletoe.
I can't decide if I like love bizarre. Or hate it. I kind of hate it though. It's like a bunch of dudes just controlling.
Okay.
Not good.
I guess.
Not good stuff.
This
is 2023. You can't do that shit anymore.
Mistletoe is really weird.
Mistletoe is canceled.
You know what? Mistletoe should totally be fucking canceled.
Yeah, mistletoe should
we
be canceled.
We don't need it. Yeah, don't point up.
No.
No. So, yeah, mistletoe is weird, but do you know what? You want to know what else is weird?
Sitting on Santa's lap. Yeah. Your drunk uncle by the punch bowl trying to grab her butt.
Caroling.
Caroling is weird. So, why do we go out and sing to each other?
Why do we sing to each other? Yep, it is a pagan thing. So it is called wassailing. You've heard that song?
Dude.
Wassail.
Hold on. Wassail. Just a second. That's fucking crazy because my drink tonight is wassail punch from Trader Joe's with whiskey in it. And holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
It is so good.
Dude, I want
oh
that.
Oh, my God. And I was like, what's wassail? I'm so stoked. It, like, all comes
yes.
together.
Yeah. And we'll talk about the booze part, too. Yeah. There is booze associated with wassailing. This is my wassail juice. It's a mimosa in the cute little cup.
Oh, yeah. It was just Chelsea's birthday last week. The Christmas is to celebrate it. Chelsea and my son. Diego.
Yeah. Yeah. Just us.
Just
me and the egg. So it's called wassailing, and it's totally giving trick-or-treat vibes for sure.
Okay.
So, winter solstice is still spooky season.
Okay.
So definitely kind of Halloween-y.
Ooh.
So a group of people would go home to home during winter solstice. During winter solstice and sing songs in hopes of receiving food or money.
Okay.
Sometimes they would challenge the homeowner with a riddle, and if they got it right, they would offer a drink from their booze jug. So the wassail juice.
Wassail.
Or if they didn't want to drink, they would toast to the health of their family. Now, if the homeowner wasn't nice to them or didn't offer them anything for their songs,
oh no, what's gonna happen?
Their home might be vandalized.
Oh, no.
Trick-or-treating.
Dude, that's like, that's gnarly caroling. That's like caroling with stakes.
Exactly. So if somebody comes up and starts singing at your house, like, be chill. They might egg your house or something. I don't know.
That's kind of the times we're in now. You just got to be chill. No matter what, because you don't know what somebody's going through.
Okay.
You want to sing to me?
Okay. So, so decking the halls with boughs of holly. That must be a fucking pagan thing too. Yep. So Christians think this is like a blood of Christ thing, this holly stuff. Holly is actually a symbol of the King of Winter, or the Holly King.
Right. Okay.
Which brings us to another Christmas tradition, the big man, the guy, the God your kid is actually praying to, Santa. Take it away.
Santa baby. So, I mean, Santa. How do you feel about Santa, Chelsea? Do you like Santa?
I love Santa, and I think that I probably was believing in Santa probably a little bit late in the game when I was a kid. I really, like, there were signs that he wasn't real, but I, you know, I was like, you know what? No, I want the magic to continue.
No, he's real.
And it's like, well, this does look like my mom's handwriting on the present, but maybe Santa talks to my mom.
My mom's in on it.
Yeah, and my mom helps wrap the presents. Yes.
I love
and
that.
And I just did not want the. And then Corey, my sister, finally was like, you know, he's not real.
Bitch. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. So all week, Diego's been saying, wait a minute, bye. Because Fabian was playing Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe in the car and taught him to say, wait a minute, bye.
Wait a minute, bye.
Like,
stay right there. I'm
gonna go. So Santa was ruined for me pretty early on. I was probably like maybe six. And I remember like waiting up as long as I could, like, I'm going to see him tonight. I'm going to say hi.
No, I was like, let's go to sleep or else he's going to pass over if I'm not sleeping.
That oh my God. Your parents are smart. Anxiety. I'm going to do that to my, I think I was like, no, I'm seeing this motherfucker in the flesh. Like, I was very determined. And
did you lay out cookies for
him? Oh, yeah. And and carrot sticks and celery for the reindeer. Yeah.
And then they were all, like, half eaten. And then you're like, oh, he was here.
Yeah, and I remember my brother and my neighbor kids, they were all older, and they were talking about how some kid got coal in his stocking, and one of them went like, how could your parents do that? And my brother went, shh, she doesn't know. And I was like, yeah, I do. I knew that, like, trying to play it cool. But I really was like, dying.
We're younger siblings. Can you tell?
Yeah. 100%. But it was nice of my brother to try and be like, no, she doesn't know. Like, don't tell her. Oh, no. But yeah, like, dude. Everybody likes Santa, right? I mean, the only people I think that don't like Santa are like 2 and 3 year olds who are forced to sit on Santa's lap, which, by the way, parents, like, don't do that. Creepy. You don't know that man.
I loved Santa. I didn't need to sit in his lap. I needed the magic from afar.
Yeah, like, I mean, if your kid's like about it, you're right there, that's fine. But like, you know, if they're not, like, let's not force it. Come on, man.
They're crying.
Yeah. So who is this perfectly rotund man in a fabulous, perfectly fitting, velvety red and white suit that, like, it always just perfectly complements the physique? I mean, well-dressed man. He's pretty much a global sensation, though I will say he's not celebrated in every culture, but still, he's, like, made it to every continent. Maybe not Antarctica, but, you know.
You would think that would be his, like...
Maybe. Place. I don't know. Maybe.
It's like the North Pole.
But, yeah, it's the South Pole. It's the colder pole. But, you know.
Oh, you know. Yeah, that's the South Pole,
I guess. So give me a minute on this one. So, Saint Nick, Santa Claus. Sinterklaas, Chris Kindle, Den Morose, Horeyoshu, Julepuki, Dunche Lauren, Mikulas, Abba Chagualu, Baba Dimiri, Chris Khan, Pete Noel, Dedim Raza, Diado Kaluida, Baba Noel, Kanakalaku, Babbo Natale, Dedo Mraz, San Nicolau, San Natale, San Nicholas. And it just keeps going. That's maybe like an eighth of the amount of cultures
I like
that
Baba
celebrate.
Noel.
Baba Noel's good. And this might, see, he just might be the most popular man in the world. Like, he just might be. And I love this story because it's literally just a bunch of fucking gossip. Like, these are just shared stories over time. So his legend echoes through halls of so, so many, many homes this time of year. But where does it come from? Mm-hmm. Who is this irresistible man in red and white? Are you on the, like, hot Santa train? Are you, like, into that?
Oh, yeah. He's hot. Yeah. He's totally hot.
I mean, I'm like, I mean, I, yeah. He, yeah.
Hot, jolly.
Giving.
Loves baked goods. Me too.
Oh my god, it's jingle belling all the way. Yeah. So we're gonna get into the backstory of why we like this guy so much, the imagery that takes us through the years as we go through some of these this enchantment of the good old boy. And they might be more brutal than you think. Let's get into some context. So St. Nicholas is the first dude I'm going to go over. And this is the actual saint. So he's born 3rd century in Asia Minor in a small village called Petaris, which at the time was Greek, but it's now modern day Turkey. And his parents are like super fucking rich. So Santa is like a trust fund baby. But they die sadly in an epidemic when he's like young. And so then he's like going through his, you know, lost Christian, like, oh, I don't know, I need to find myself vibe. And he becomes like a monk bishop sort of deal. And he's super into Jesus, which would have been like kind of counterculture at the time. You know, it's Greek times, pagan, Roman times, like pagans, the shit. Like, we're all about polytheistic at this time. So this is actually like punk rock dude.
Christians are like the underground.
Christians are the underground. You know, Christ and Gallipoli, those are like, to be monotheistic was like bad at the time.
Yeah. Like, oh, weird.
Like against the law, breaking the law.
They don't have the gods.
Oh. Yeah. So he's like, Jesus says I should give all my shit away. I need to give all my shit away. And so he starts leaving money as gifts in the stockings of children that are hanging at the fireplaces to dry, something we're very familiar with. And one night he like hears of this dude, like this guy who can't afford to pay dowries for his daughters. So back in the day, a dowry is like money that you basically pay a guy to like take your daughter and marry her, like take this money and take my daughter, take care of her. He didn't have any dowries. And for some reason, like if he didn't have the dowry, the only other option was for them to become prostitutes.
Oh, okay.
Like, you've got two, you know.
Yeah, because like options. A husband wouldn't take a wife that doesn't have a dowry.
So instead, you just have to go sell yourself and become a woman of the night, which, I mean, you know. Yeah. So St. Nicholas is like, I will save them. And over the span of 3 nights, proceeds to throw gold into the stockings of the ladies so they can avoid the hookering.
Hell yeah.
And, okay. And saves them from, you know, the hooker life.
That's pretty dark.
Dude, it gets darker. Okay. So there's another story is that Santa Claus was traveling doing his, like, giveaway money tour of the world. And along his route, there are, like, these 3 children playing who get lured away. You know, they're, like, falling on a ball, whatever. They, like, go away from where they're playing. But then they get, like, lured home by an evil butcher and, like, chopped up and murdered.
What?
Yeah, dude. Okay.
Oh, my God.
And St. Nicholas has a dream of who did it and then restores them to life.
Okay.
So I don't know what that means, if he, like, glues them back together, if he, like, you know, what. But... So this is part of...
So we're talking like kind of Jesus miracle type of thing.
Oh, totally. There's like a ton of miracles happening. You know, so he's the patron saint of children because he has several stories of like restoring dead children back who were like murdered. Yeah. Okay. And his reputation just starts like growing and growing, and these stories keep evolving, and it's just like one giant game of telephone of like different adaptations of the same of a similar story. There are stories of him saving mass amounts of people from famine, from calming seas, for sailors to make safe passages. And apparently he was like doing all of this in secret. Like he wanted some like anonymity. Like he didn't.
Oh, okay.
You know, like
he didn't want praise for this. He
was like kind of like Batman. Is someone getting Batman or like Robin Hood vibes?
Yeah.
Lots of parallels here, you know, with the money and the children die or the parents dying. And then he becomes wildly popular during the Middle Ages and the Renaissance, and people like that's relic time when people are collecting relics, and he's long dead at this point. But they have been able to identify his actual bones and do like a scientific rendering of what he would have looked like. And they confirmed his hair is white and that he at one point had a broken nose. So he was like probably like actually Robin Hood Batman vibes, like getting into fights and shit.
Oh, for the cop. Yeah. I had no idea there was like a real skeleton.
Santa's like a badass apparently.
Like a vigilante type of Batman.
Totally. So that's one god, because Santa, that's not just where Santa stops. So Odin, like you mentioned. So then this other mythological god comes into play somewhere during like Viking times. He's a Norse god named Odin. Think like Scandinavian. We're getting closer to our North Pole vibe, probably more furs, Viking Alpine. Helmet, horns and shit. Some people literally fucking call him Viking Santa Claus.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So he's like metal Claus.
Santa Claus is pretty metal.
He's described as being one-eyed, wise, and having a white beard, wearing a hat and a cloak. So
well, he has one eye.
One eye. That's what.
So he's a Cyclops. Or, yeah. Okay.
So in contrast to being the patron saint of like children and the sea, like Saint Nicholas, Odin is literally the god of war, the dead, poetry, and magic. So he's kind of like a total
dick.
He's
got a lot of hats.
He's a Renaissance god for sure. Yeah. He's doing a lot.
He has got a lot on his plate.
He's
right
got
now.
A lot going on.
Let's cycle back to writing this poem.
But yeah, so he's like considered like a father god, like kind of like the big kahuna, like a Zeus-y type. Apparently he's a huge womanizer. And he's like killing people all the time. He's like a more vicious type of god, you know, not as likable as maybe Saint Nick.
I could see that with the Vikings. Yeah. There's they a want lot of, someone a little too metal.
They want somebody stronger than that, right? So lots of pillaging. War, death, pillaging sort of deal.
I love this new have you seen all of these Instagram bros that are Viking that want to be Vikings?
And
they're like there's a whole culture out there about this and I'm a metalhead, so Viking culture is kind of a thing.
It goes far and, for you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And metal.
Oh, totally.
But this is a different fucking thing. So these dudes, these like muscle dudes on Instagram are all about Viking culture, and then they'll say things like, and it's giving like kind of cowboy a little bit, like Trump or incel kind of vibes,
no.
But like a little hotter, you know, of like, at least they're hot. Like, but they're definitely like Vikings, we're about honor, and it's like no.
Wait a minute.
Weren't you like raping and pillaging?
Yeah, no, Vikings, I don't think we're about like honor. I think it's just about like rape, pillage, kill.
Yeah, of get what's yours kind of thing.
Yeah.
And fight for it.
No remorse.
And be violent.
Yeah.
Yeah, and beat up people and kill people.
Totally.
And they're like, no, I'm a Viking. And blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, no, you're not a Viking though. Like, can we just, okay, you're interested in history, which is great, which is our thing too. Like, but
But you're not a Viking, just like I'm not a dinosaur or a vampire, even though.
Yeah, or I'm not like what I really want to be, like a fucking 17th century powdered wig, fucking big old bodice.
But I'm just not
playing the harpsichord, like reading in anguish, looking outside of the window, waiting for my knight or whoever. But yeah, so anyway, Viking, the new age neo Vikings are something the fuck else.
Dude, that's, check them out. Ugh, gross. You guys, settle down.
Really gross.
And yeah, this is not like a story of praise to Odin. This is more like you were a fucking asshole, Odin. But he did do some things that are like very, very undeniably related to things. So he had an eight-legged horse.
Yeah.
I think eight-legged horse.
Wow.
And he would ride midwinter across the night sky, delivering gifts to those down below. Odin also had a network of spy ravens.
Okay. Yeah.
That would listen at chimneys to determine who was good and who was bad. So the naughty and nice list.
It's like the naughty, raven naughty. On the shelf. Elf on the shelf.
I think it's like, well, think like, no, think like chimney. Santa goes down the chimney. Yeah. The good, the naughty, the nice list. They was good, bad. But this was more like informing who he should murder, rape, pillage, take to Valhalla, like that sort of deal. And the gift making, so there were these elves that would accompany Norse gods, and they were specifically known to be creators of wondrous things, mm-hmm. such as Odin's magical spear. Or Thor's magical hammer. Oh, we're more familiar with that one. The elves made that. And other magical death-causing shit. So, that's where the elves come from. And Odin is said to live in Asgard, which was a world only accessible by crossing the Bifrost into the Arctic.
The North Pole.
In Scandinavia, parts were like inside the Arctic, so it allowed to create like a lot of myth and lore surrounding like what the fuck's over there, you know. So that's one.
Yes.
So this kind of evolves into our next Santa contender, Sinterklaas. I love that name. This is more 15th century, and it's a Dutch holiday, which I'm Dutch. The idea is Father Christmas comes in mid-November on a ship from Spain. Then December 5th, he delivers presents on his horse that is so fast it can fly.
And the flying
thing.
You
can't fucking see it. So in all three stories, Santa sort of has this like, aesthetic, like he's a dude with a white beard wearing some sort of furry robe, and he's got money and he's got goods and he's fancy got a fly Santa. Way to get around, except not maybe Saint Nick. He didn't really have a fancy way to get around, but we start seeing the evolution becoming more magical from Saint Nicholas up to Sinterklaas. So things get even more magical because the 19th century hits and Dutch Christmas, Sinterklaas, starts becoming more like wildly popular in New York. Before this, people were like not celebrating the Christmas we know today. It was like a religious holiday. The banks were still open. Nobody really cared. You know, it wasn't
you
like
might go
really
to church or something.
No gift giving. It wasn't really like a wild celebration or anything like that. Okay. Like we're far removed from Saturnalius. Saturnalius is a thing of the past at this point.
Okay.
The reason that it comes back largely has to do with art history, which is really fucking cool.
Dude, we do that.
I mean, it's like, you know, art just has this way of resonating, I think, with people across so many different cultures and can unify us. And like, I think this is kind of a story of that. So, so in the 1820s is when we get the first real story of Santa Claus published, A Visit from St. Nicholas, better known as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
We know that one.
Yeah. with the mouse. That one. Mm-hmm. So this is like our first real magical story of Santa. And then comes Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol in 1843, which tells the tale of a rich curmudgeon whose wealth is his downfall, and then taps into the sentiment that the rich should be kinder to the poor, which is like social injustice vibe, which is totally Saint Nick vibes, Saint Nicholas. Yeah. The growing and growing popularity of this poem and this story by Charles Dickens, they still haven't arrived on like a true depiction that captures the joy and the nostalgia that nestles this jolly old soul into our hearts and minds. We know that art personifies our imaginations. It's like it makes these stories more tangible, relatable, and provides a permanency to our dreams in a way that we can like cuddle up to. And we're all visual learners, and art is so often how throughout history how we tell these stories. And though the depictions told stories of gods and saints in the past, with the rise of the traditions and stories of Santa's evolving, there was definitely like a branding opportunity because before he's like a skinny dude, he just looks like a saint, like he's got the hat and everything, but it's not really like, you know, the guy you want to really like, you know, he's not the jolly old soul. So Thomas Nast, he is considered the creator of the first image of modern day Santa Claus. He's working for Harper's Magazine at the time, and he's this political cartoonist. And he's of German descent. So he's pulling from Sinterklaas and the stories he grew up with, celebrating that man, because it's a big Dutch holiday. And he uses his own nostalgic feeling and injects it into these like political cartoons he was making at the time for Harper's Magazine. And we get the first depiction of the beginnings of modern day Santa here. He designed Santa based on himself, actually. And that's where the big belly comes.
Oh, the belly.
Yeah. And in January of 1863, a black and white depiction of a jolly old elf sitting on top of a sack of toys in a reindeer-pulled sleigh inspired by Clement Clarke's poem is depicted. And this would have been like pretty widely circulated. The Santa is giving toys away to Union soldiers. And although you might notice the toys look a bit like propaganda-y, and that's because they totally were. The toy Santa is holding is a puppet with a rope around its neck with features like those of the Confederate president. So Thomas Nast was a Union supporter, pro-civil rights, abolition, Republican. This is like back when Republicans were Democrats.
Well, good. All right.
Yeah.
But that's what they're giving to kids.
What they're giving to kids. It's actually more like these are geared towards adults too. Because it's like a source of entertainment at the time. I mean, this is still 1800s, so, and like during the Civil War, there's not like TV or anything.
It's like
books, puppets, drawings, and music. So he does, and it, I mean, you can see where he gets the inspiration from, right? Like Saint Nick is like taking all his money, giving away. It's like a noble thing he does. He does 33 illustrations total for Harper's Magazine, and they are all considered propaganda. They're all considered to be culturally influential, and they all include the iconic things we know today. They're all there. The reindeer, the red hat with the white trim, the white beard, the chimney, sack of gifts. It's all fucking there. And that's why Nast is the guy. He's the Santa's guy. He's the Santa dude.
Okay.
So for all you Trumper, alt-right Confederate supporting fucktards, Santa was created by an abolitionist. Neener.
Oh, yeah, so fuck off.
So fuck you guys. So if you're celebrating Christmas, you're celebrating abolition.
Hell yeah, okay. Nice. Yeah, we like that. But yeah, toys with the ropes, and that's...
So that's what I'm going to talk about next. So that's where we get the beginning of Santa. So next is where we get the now Santa. Yes. So Norman Rockwell. If you don't know who Norman Rockwell is, he's a painter that emerges in like the early 1900s. He's widely known for creating like the most fucking sentimental, nostalgic images of American life during the time. Like, anytime you think of,
like an image nuclear of, family at the dinner table.
Yeah, or... from, like, the 40s, 50s sort of era. Like, he's the guy. He's the guy that made that iconic sort of style of imagery.
I have a Norman Rockwell Christmas decoration. It's like a little bell with a Norman Rockwell of like Santa, and he's hella tired from making toys. So I think like one of the elves is like helping him out because he's like asleep at the like it's so cute. Like
cute.
Sweet.
I love that because Norman Rockwell's like hated on for being like an illustrator. People like high art people are like, you're not an artist, you're an illustrator. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, fuck you, high art people. Get that off your pedestal and get in on this Norman Rockwell shit. We'll have to do him one on a pod on him 100%. One of these days.
Yeah.
But he was a total progressive, anti-segregation, lots of cool stuff. Cool. So anyways, he creates that iconic image of Santa, that perfectly rotund, jolly man we know today. And then after that, you know, Coca-Cola is like, Coca-Cola, this is a fucking marketing opportunity.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, the Coke Santa is really the marketing opportunity. I mean, up until this point, we kind of go over this in Pollock, but 1800s advertising is like gearing up. We got Industrial Revolution, middle class is forming. People are buying shit. The Sears catalog is there. So Coca-Cola sees Santa and they're like, this is the guy. This is the guy. How we're going to get in the hearts of people at Christmas and sell soda. We're going to sell cold soda when it's fucking cold outside. Hell yeah, we are.
I didn't think of that. I always think about Coke Santa.
Everybody thinks about Coke Santa. But yeah, so after this, Santa goes fucking viral and he's everywhere. I mean, he is everywhere. He's on cups. He's on pencils. He's on erasers. He's on straws. He's everywhere. You can buy a Santa anything. I bet you could even buy a Santa condom. People get into weird shit.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I'm sure there's a whole website.
Dali even has a Santa painting. Salvador Dali.
Oh.
Of Santa with the melting clock. So, from here, Santa becomes a global sensation. And more recently, he's finally being depicted in different ethnicities, black, white, Asian, Hispanic. You can select which one you want when you buy your children's Target pajamas. I know for a fact we have several different ethnicities in our house.
Yay.
If you're lucky enough, you might even find a lady Santa. Sometimes are the... Those are there, right? Lady Santa.
I mean, there's Mrs. Claus.
Yeah, that's not enough power for me. I want to be the big guy.
For Halloween last year, my husband and I were Mr. and Mrs. Claus.
That's right.
Pretty funny.
It was so good.
There's
it was
a pretty
good
iconic picture of him. Like, we went to this like gross bar and he was coming out of the porta potties, drink and a cigarette. He's coming out of Santa. Like, this is the best version of beard all like messed up.
Yeah.
This is my favorite version of Santa. Well, of course, there is a amazing festival that's always on my birthday in San Francisco.
Oh, SantaCon.
And basically what happens is everybody dresses as some version of Santa. There's all kinds of Santas. There's sexy Santas. There's daddy Santas. There's Jewish Santa. There's all kinds of Santas. And they all come in one part of the city in downtown. And then our job is to basically go from there and just spread out through San Francisco and spread Christmas cheer. And I so remember that all these Santas just ended up in this one bar and we started chanting like, ho, 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 ho. It was just... of like, this is the most pure, fun, adult kid thing.
Like, I don't know, dude. I used to work at a pizza shop in San Francisco and people would just stumble and wasted and vomit on things. And I was like, oh no, the drunk Santa is not again.
Not the Santa.
Not the Santas again. Drunk Santa Day again. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. And then everybody ends up coming up to you, and they're like, why is everyone dressed as Santa? And you're like, to spread Christmas cheer.
Now being, like, on the other side of it, I do think it's really funny, and I would like to be a part of a massive
Santa. Yeah, so SantaCon is fun. So, if Santa brings gifts for the kids on his good list, what about the kids on his bad list?
Oh, no.
Krampus comes for you. So, Krampus is a horned, long-tongued, half-goat demon creature from ancient Central and Eastern European folklore who assists Saint Nicholas with the bad kids. So the legend of Krampus is said to have started all the way back to the 6th century, where masked devils would act chaotically and cause havoc in European towns and in church services during Christmas. Krampus carries chains and birches to beat bad children with, and a bag to carry them off to hell. So we love him.
Jesus Christ. So, I don't like him. That sounds horrible.
So check out Krampusnacht, or Krampus Night, celebrated on the evening before the traditional feast of St. Nicholas on December 6th. People dressed as hairy horned devils appear in the streets and visit homes and businesses and scare the shit out of kids.
Dude, that's so nuts. Okay, so my friend sent me a Christmas card that had Krampus on the front, and my son opened it and was like, Mommy,
it's really scary.
And in the inside of the card, she wrote, she's like, you decide if Diego's old enough to see this.
I was like, oh, wow.
and remind him that if he's naughty, Krampus will come get him. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not telling him that. He'll be terrified.
Krampus will come get you. So be good.
Krampus is so scary.
Krampus is going to get you. Yeah, so he's just basically a demon. And yeah, just a devil-y creature.
So scary.
How fun would it be, like, you're in church during a Christmas service and fucking some dude comes in dressed as the devil and just causes chaos, like, so good, and just scares the shit out of little kids.
I'm not here for it.
But
to each their own.
Hella metal. He's just hella metal. So
yeah, I know.
Yeah, so deck the halls, spend all your money on gifts, and have a shot of schnapps for Krampus. I guess schnapps keeps him away. So
I do like schnapps. I'll do that. Schnapps in your hot chocolate.
Yeah. So let's see. So Merry Saturnalia, Yuletide greetings, Happy Dong Chi, and may you find peace in the solstice night and light in the new year.
Yeah, they be looking for that light.
Right.
Listen, whatever you celebrate, wherever you are, we love you.
We love you.
We wish you a very merry holiday.
Happy holidays.
Or if you don't celebrate, a very good day.
We're just chilling. Yeah.
Just chill.
Stay warm.
Eat something good.
You know, at least.
Stay warm.
Hibernate.
And let this be a healthy reminder to set boundaries this holiday season. Don't sit on anybody's lap you don't want to.
Yeah.
Don't kiss under the mistletoe if you don't want to.
You don't have to do that.
And you know what?
That's a dumb story anyway, so you don't have to do that.
You don't have to do that. Just start talking about the origin of mistletoe.
You know, yeah.
And by the end of the story, maybe they'll be like warded off or
their
something.
Their boner will be gone, yeah.
You know, their boner will die down.
Yeah.
But listen, be kind. Be safe.
Be nice to your retail workers.
Be nice to your retail workers. Be nice to your servers. Tip extra this time
tip
of year.
Them. Yeah, tip them.
Be jolly.
Yeah, try to do that. Try to get into St. Nicholas.
If you're getting rotund, it's okay.
That's fine.
It's okay. So are we. Good. Tell that part of your body you love that rotundness.
Yeah.
Like
Santa.
Yeah. Santa. Who doesn't love Santa? Come on. And we love you.
I wanna get to know
we love you.
Ho,
ho,
bye.
Bye.
Ho, ho, ho.